Another turning point for me was when I got my dog, Pepper. I know that sounds silly, but it was really important to me.
Why was that so important?
Well, I was about 11. I remember that having a dog, you know, he was mine, made me feel really responsible in a funny kind of way. He would follow me everywhere and was always waiting for me when I came home from school.
Actually, that sounds kind of nice. I never got to have a dog, but I remember when I got my first bicycle. That was a very important day for me. For the first time, I could go out on my own and go as far as I wanted to. I used to polish the bicycle every day and take really good care of it. Of course, that only lasted a few months, and then I lost interest in it.
I'm a twin, and my twin brother and I have always been very close. We always did everything together, and we were never apart for any time at all until we were 18. Then we went to different colleges in different towns, and that was the first time we had ever really had to cope on our own. I think it was good in a way, because we both became more confident and independent. Until then, I had always had my brother to depend on whenever I ran into a problem. But once I went away to college, I realized I was actually capable of working things out on my own.
One thing that was really a turning point for me was when I learned Spanish. I was always kind of scared of learning a foreign language, yet I was really envious of kids who could speak another language. But when I started learning Spanish, I found I was actually pretty good at it. And the moment I reached that breakthrough stage, you know, when you discover you can actually speak and communicate with people in the language, I felt really proud of myself. I realized that learning a foreign language wasn't an impossible thing after all. Now I can speak three: Spanish, Italian, and German. And I'm taking Korean this year.
My name's Anne. I'm the co-owner of the Tea Rooms in North London with my daughter. We specialise in English-style afternoon tea, cakes and pastries that are homemade. Traditional afternoon tea really started in the 18th century when ladies of leisure had nothing to do between an early lunch and a late dinner, and so they asked their servants to provide small delicacies to eat with tea, which was at that time quite a new drink. We've run the tea rooms here for about 3 years now. I run it with my daughter, who trained as a chef, and she makes all the cakes and pastries. The difference with our tea rooms is that we serve traditional English cakes rather than the American or continental style pastries that you find so often now in most coffee shops. In an afternoon tea, we normally have a selection of sandwiches, which we call finger sandwiches. They would be a selection of fillings such as ham, smoked salmon, egg and cress, or cucumber and cream cheese. Then you would follow that with scones, either fruit scones or plain scones, which we serve with clotted cream and raspberry jam. And then you'd finish up with a selection of cakes, small cakes such as chocolate cakes, Victoria sponge, Bakewell tart, any of the other little English cakes that we serve. To make a pot of English-style tea, we normally have to warm the pot first, which means putting a little bit of hot water in and pouring it out again. Then you add the tea, which would be loose-leaf tea, ideally, not tea bags. You'd put in one teaspoonful for a small pot and three teaspoons for a large pot, depending how strong you like it. And then you would add boiling water and leave the pot to brew for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, depending how strong you like your tea. We make all our own cakes here at the Tea Rooms. One of the most popular is the carrot cake, which is made with carrots, walnuts and bananas and has a cream cheese topping. I've been collecting vintage glass and china for some time, and we thought we'd sell it at the Tea Rooms as well, so people can buy tea sets and coffee sets to go with the tea that they buy here. People seem to like afternoon tea as a treat, something they can have as a change from normal meals at home, and they like to meet their friends and have a chat and linger over a cup of tea and all the cakes and pastries.
Hi guys.
Hi. Hiya.
Thanks for agreeing to meet me here on such short notice.
No problem.
Well, listen, as I said to you on the phone, I'm doing a story for a magazine. I'm interviewing foreign students to get their impressions of different cities in America. This should only take about 10 minutes or so. Let's see.
Do you mind if I tape record our interview?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, then. Carlos, why don't we start with you? What do you think of San Francisco? How do you like it here so far?
It's okay, I guess.
Oh, you don't sound very enthusiastic.
No, I like it. It's just that I've been so busy studying. I haven't had much time to explore the city.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, and when I have the time, well, it's so cloudy and foggy here, especially in the summer. I never thought I'd be wearing a sweater in July.
Well, this is Northern California. Hey, maybe you should move south. I hear Los Angeles is warmer. Vicky?
Oh, I love it here. I think this is a beautiful city. The rolling hills, the views of the bay. It's very romantic.
Yeah. So, how do you guys spend your free time?
Well, I'm studying architecture and I'm somewhat of a photographer.
Really?
Oh, I'm just an amateur. Anyway, I'm always taking pictures of the buildings in this city. You know, the Victorians, the modern skyscrapers downtown. There's such a variety of buildings in this city. The architecture is really great. I've also taken pictures of other landmarks like the Golden Gate Bridge. It looks totally different when the weather changes.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, Vicky, it's your turn. What do you like to do?
I'm a bit of a night person. There's always a new club or a film or a great outdoor cafe to check out with my friends. And we also like to explore the different neighborhoods. It's pretty easy thanks to BART. That's Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Yeah, that's a great subway system.
Anyway, yesterday we went to the Italian neighborhood, North Beach, to buy some pastries and have a cup of espresso. Today, I'm going down to the Mission District to get a burrito for lunch.
Hey, sounds like you like to eat Mexican food.
Yes, and actually, I like the Mission a lot. It's a Latino neighborhood. We don't have anything like that where I come from.
Well, that's about it. Any final comments?
No, not really.
I'd just like to say that this is a great place to live. I'm glad that I got a chance to study here.
Well, this is Andy Wong, and we're just about at the end of another episode of Where in the World? But before we sign off, I'd like to tell you a little about tomorrow's program. Tomorrow, we'll have a very interesting report on two very exciting cities that I'm sure you won't want to miss. Our reporters in the field, Diana and Matt, are standing by to fill us in on the details. Diana, can you hear me?
Yes, Andy. Loud and clear.
Well, where are you?
You know I can't tell you that, Andy. You'll have to watch tomorrow's program to get the answer.
Oh, right. That's right. Well, tell us about the place anyway.
Okay. This city is a very exciting place to visit. First of all, it is one of the 10 largest metropolitan areas in the world. It is a very cosmopolitan city with a strong identity of its own. And the local food is delicious. I am really enjoying the restaurants that serve barbecued beef, which is grilled right at your table. But I must warn you, much of the food is extremely spicy, so come prepared. Do you like spicy food, Andy?
I sure do.
Well, you should come on over then. Andy, this city is very old, and it's divided by the beautiful Han River. The city has a striking combination of modern and ancient architecture. With its efficient subway system, it's very easy to get around and see the sights. But be sure and use public transportation, because the traffic is terrible.
Great, Diana. Thanks so much for...
Oh, wait, Andy. One more thing I forgot to mention. The shopping. The street vendors here sell everything from shoes to electronics to furniture, all at discounted prices. Oops, have I said too much?
No, not at all. Sounds like you're having a fantastic time. We're looking forward to hearing your full report tomorrow and finding out just where in the world you are right now. Before we run out of time, though, let me turn it over to Matt. Matt, are you there?
I sure am. Hello, everyone. Well, my city is very old. It was founded over 3,000 years ago by the Greeks. It is now the largest city in the country, with about 3.5 million inhabitants. That's about a third of the population of the country. It's quite fascinating. It's surrounded by mountains and it overlooks the sea. And if you enjoy swimming, there are beautiful beaches in the suburbs.
Well, Matt, I guess we know where you've been the last few days, on the beach.
Well, not exactly, Andy. There's so much to see and do here. By the way, this city has some of the world's best museums and one of its best-known monuments. This world-famous ancient Greek temple that sits on the top of a rocky hill in the center of the city has to be seen with your own eyes to be believed.
Mm-hmm. I'll take your word for it. So, what do people who live there like to do at night?
Well, there are a lot of theaters, including outdoor theaters. And there's a local restaurant district just down the hill from the temple where people eat, talk, sing, and dance all night.
Great. Thanks a lot, Matt. Well, that certainly has given our listeners plenty to think about, but I'm sorry to say we're out of time. That's it, folks. This is Andy Wong reminding you to tune in tomorrow for the next installment of our travel show, Where in the World? So long, everybody.